to the Nifty Podcast presented by Party Fish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all around the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2018, presented by Oculus from Seattle, Washington. Hi, everybody. I'm Robert Spiewak. I'm one of the programmers of Nifty 2018, and I'm delighted to sit down and chat with director and writer of a film, Ladies' Day, that was part of our Come As You Are screening this year. And her name is Abenor Taylor-Smith. I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, perfect. But yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's just start things off. For the listeners, just maybe give us a quick little rundown, maybe synopsis of your film, Ladies' Day.
Okay, so Ladies' Day is about a young queer woman who goes to get her hair done at the salon, and while she's there, she hears a load of homophobic comments, mm-hmm. and she has no idea whether or not to stay silent and just sit through it, or stick up for herself and, like, her people, mm-hmm. and possibly risk outing herself.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were the writer of this, too. So where did kind of the kernel, the little root of the idea... What made you turn this into like a full story and everything?
I started with the location. I was like, I want to have a film that's set in an Afro-Caribbean hair salon. Mm-hmm. So I grew up going to hair salons. I'm black, by the way, everyone. You can't see me, but just so you know. I've got Jamaican heritage, and just hair is a big thing. Going and getting your hair done is a big thing. My auntie's actually a hairdresser, so I grew up going to salons. And that space is mm-hmm. like a mix between like a place where you get a makeover and a therapy center, and where you go to catch up on the gossip, and it's wow. like a community space as well. So it started with the salon, and I wanted to do something that kind of put queer women mm-hmm. into the story, because a lot of the time they're either like the side character or a stereotype, or they're just non-existent. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it started, and then I kind of wove the story around those twin ideas.
Yeah, yeah. I thought something that was really interesting about the film, and we'll get into the discussion of the homophobia that's present in the film, but the challenge of it mostly being set all in the same location inside the salon. So, what kind of how did you approach mainly using, the dialogue to push the story along and keep it, interesting throughout, and also weave through, the different characters' points of view and everything like that?
Okay, so when I started with this idea, I was like, it's an ensemble piece, mm-hmm. so there's lots of different women here, and it's about women talking, and I think a big thing was the things that women talk about when there are no men there. The concept of Ladies' Day is that it's the one day in the week when no men are allowed in to mm-hmm. get their hair done, because it allows Muslim women to take off their headscarves and not be seen, basically. So that was the kind of concept, and that's where the title comes from. And I think women talking is really powerful. And I talk a lot with older women in my family, with my friends, and like cousins and stuff, and I just think it's really restorative. And I think a lot of the time it can be kind of patronized, like, oh, it's just women gossiping and having a chat, but it's actually the things that we talk about are big things, big issues. It's not just kind of idle gossip. So mm-hmm. I wanted to have women trying to set the world to rights in this time where they're all listening to each other and there's nobody there telling them to shut up, basically.
Yeah.
And in terms of it all being in one location, I spoke with my DP a lot, because I think the only thing really that was necessary was that space. I really wanted people to feel like they were in that salon and they knew it, even if they'd never been in a black hair salon before. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to feel like it was a real place.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of like a peek into that world. So we tried to do a lot of different things with like camera angles and stuff, just mm-hmm. to kind of give it a little bit of variety, because we don't leave that location. Mm-hmm. And also I wanted to give a sense that it was a very warm and nurturing place to be, because I think for a lot of straight women, it is. Do you know what I mean? Like they are never made to feel anything other than that they belong there. Sometimes it's just like that added thing of like, this is your safe space because you're Black women. But if you're also queer, then it's like, what happens when that safe space sometimes isn't so safe? What do you do in those scenarios? But we shot it with lots of like warm lighting and like smoke and mist in the air because I wanted it to have that kind of sensuous feel, because I think it's a really like multi-sensory experience.
And I think you're just to talk about camera angles real quick, and kind of the immersion that is present there for the viewer, because so many of the angles, like there's definitely like a huge variety of coverage that y'all shot through it, but there's also so much that it's just like you're like the viewer's on eye level with everyone the whole time, like you're the one sitting in the next chair over, or you're someone who's standing up like in the back of the room, and like the one angle I do think of is when the Muslim woman is on her way out, that it's like you're standing in the middle of the room watching her leave, and you know the conversation that's going on around her and everything. I think it was really interesting to, you know, make it almost like so intimate, even if it's a place that someone hasn't set foot in before. Do you feel like that was kind of like an intention coming into it too?
Definitely, yeah, because awesome. I think I really wanted Black women to recognize that salon. I wanted them to be like, yeah, I've been there before. Yeah. But also what's equally important is that you're able to take people who have never been to that place into a new world and for them to feel like it is real and they do know it. And maybe for them to notice like, oh, actually, I've got a Black hair salon down the road from me. I just never noticed it before. I never went in or something like that. I really wanted it to feel like you were one of those people in the salon rather than like a spectator. Yeah. I definitely never wanted it to be a kind of like, you know, like watching people in the zoo kind of thing. Because that kind of like voyeurism, I find it quite distasteful, especially when you're doing something about a group of people who are supposedly a minority. Yeah. So it was really important for me to have a space like in my salon film where that it was all Black and brown women, and it was like just kind of challenging the idea that they're a minority, because in that place they are the majority, that is their place, and so they are comfortable in that kind of arena.
And I think it's interesting that you say that, so because as me watching it, like it still strangely felt familiar, even though, you know, I'm a cishet Mexican-American man from America, and not, I mean, this takes place in the UK too, where I don't live around very many people that, you know, sound like that even, let alone look like that or behave that way. And so I think that you definitely like accomplished that in that regard. And it's great. So the other thing then, to just jump into like, you know, that dialogue driven story and the really strong characterization of, you'll have to remind me character names, but the main,
she's called character.
Ama. Okay. Yeah. And then the hairdresser that is
Yvette.
Mostly talking to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that character dynamic is kind of the central part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so Yvette is talking, and we, you know, it flips between her and Ama. Like, how was writing that and then working with those actors to, you know, just ratchet up that tension throughout the film?
So writing it was really fun, and there's I have a lot of love for the character of Yvette, basically, because I think that everyone needs like an Yvette, because she is like the alpha female of that scenario. Do you know what I mean? It's her salon, she's the boss, what she says goes.
Yeah, and she feels totally comfortable
exactly
like making prescribing things for people's lives.
And she's like a bit of a character, and she's the kind of person that you would go to and ask advice for, and she would give it, you know? Mm-hmm. My kind of idea was that if Ama had been straight, she'd be going to the salon and asking her for like boy advice and stuff that. And Yvette is kind of like worldly wise and would be able to give it. So that's the kind of dynamic, almost like an auntie, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think definitely whenever I go into the salon, it feels like all of the older women in there, whether or not they're related to me, they feel like aunties in mm-hmm. that kind of like older female like respect kind of way.
Yeah.
But also every conversation that goes on in the salon, you're kind of a part of that conversation. Yeah. You overhear what's going on. You can chip in and out. So yeah, writing all that dialogue was really fun. I think a lot of the time with screenwriting, you know, they say, don't say exactly what the character is thinking or feeling. Like, don't explain too much to the audience.
Yeah.
But what was really fun for me is that the character of Yvette is like that. She says exactly what she's thinking mm-hmm, or feeling, mm-hmm. and she doesn't really care what anybody else thinks. So to have some quite like bold statements going out
absolutely.
There, that was, I get a kick out of like every time somebody laughs at that, because it's a lot of stuff that I've heard. She's a kind of like composite character of yeah. Lots of different ideas that I've heard. But in terms of working with the actors, they were so good because mm-hmm. we didn't have very long to rehearse at all. So
oh, okay.
I basically had emailed the two leads, mm-hmm. Particularly Yvette. She's played by Jackie Price and she was really good. But I emailed her just to say, like, this is my ideas for the character. And then we had rehearsals and they just like ran the dialogue and we just talked about what things meant, because
yeah.
particularly with Amma's character, who is the young woman who goes into the salon,
yeah.
she's quite shy, she's quite retiring, mm-hmm. so she doesn't always say what she means. But Savannah, sorry, all these names, but like
okay,
Savannah's
yeah.
the actress who plays Amma, mm-hmm. and she was just brilliant because she was very restrained in that performance.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like they both enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's really interesting to, because we kind of see all these feelings like dance across Amma's face while all these questions are being asked of her, and like there's so much conversation going on around her after she's, you know, had this hard conversation with her partner before of, you know, can they publicly be together? And so it's really, like, it's almost heartbreaking as everyone around them is just like trying to enforce like heterosexuality and like the importance of monogamy and, you know, child rearing and kind of all those subjects that society makes be the foundation of what it means to be female now. And we're starting to, I think we're starting to kind of chip away at that. And so what do you feel was important in making this film to kind of speak to that?
I really wanted to show the kind of casual violence of just like assumed straightness.
Yeah.
Because it's all of the things that they say, like, oh, have you got a boyfriend? You know, when are you going to get married and stuff
yeah.
like that? And it's very well-meaning. Nobody in that room has said it because they're like trying to be offensive or mm-hmm. hurtful. But it's that like assumed that you're going to go down that path that makes people who are not straight just feel like they can never relax, because she has gone into the salon to get her hair done just to sit and chat and be with women that she knows.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never let your guard down, because as soon as you do, a question like that comes up and you really need to be like emotionally ready
yeah.
to deal with those kinds of things. Because when you're doing it day in, day out, it's, yeah, it's exhausting. So
yeah.
I think that was what I wanted to get across in that, but also to show not only that are there like queer people of color, and that is not unusual. In
yeah.
fact, it's a norm. Every culture has queer people in it. But also that not all black people are homophobic, because there's kind of two twin stereotypes, which is that there aren't any black gay people and that all black people are homophobic,
mm-hmm.
and neither of those are true.
Wow, that's interesting. Or I mean, that's like, I mean, brave isn't the right word, but like just to, you know, kind of look at a culture that, you know, sometimes that might be yours, but can still feel alien at sometimes because of that. Like, I mean, that's just like, I don't know. I think it takes a lot of creative integrity to be able to do that. And so, like, congratulations on doing that with this film.
Thank you.
And so, what other things, beyond the setting, and like your stake in like wanting to, you know, set something in a salon and then like everything that came after that, what other kind of influences and inspirations, and this doesn't have to just be about your film, but just your work in general and you as a filmmaker, what drives your creativity what influences you?
Okay, so I think specifically for Ladies Day, I was really influenced by music videos.
Mm-hmm.
I really like music videos, and they're like a short film medium that I think is like the most watched in the world.
Yeah.
And also that regularly puts black women in the videos. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think definitely nowadays, there's a lot more variety in the roles that black women are given in music videos.
Yeah.
It's not all just kind of like on a beach, on a pool party, in a bikini,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. So a lot of like my aesthetics and stuff, I get from like music video direction.
Cool.
And in terms of the writing, I really like writers who can write female characters who are like complex and like they're not necessarily good, but mm-hmm. they're not necessarily like annoying or the worst person ever. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's kind of like you're still rooting for them, even mm-hmm. though they do things that you don't like.
So kind of like an anti-hero of sorts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do. I like. I just like complex female characters who like. Have stuff going on, you know, it's not just all talking about their boyfriend or something that. Because I think that's very alienating mm-hmm. in cinema. Women really aren't given enough to do.
Yeah.
So in terms of writing, I really like Marlon James. So he's like a Jamaican novelist. He wrote A Brief History of Seven Killings
mm-hmm.
and has written like several other books, who always writes women characters really well.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Hornby, he wrote Brooklyn and An Education. I mean, he did the screenplays for them. They're adapted from novels.
Yeah.
But yeah, he always writes dialogue really nicely. And I'm trying to think now. I read a lot of poetry as well.
Cool.
There's a lot of like black queer poets
yeah.
that I like to read. I think queer media lifts me up a lot in terms
yeah.
of like getting inspiration. Sometimes you can see a lot of films or stories that you hate and like, oh, why didn't they do this? I would have done it that way. And that can inspire you to write.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's nice when that comes from a positive place as well. So when I watch something like any of Desiree Akhavan's work, Dee Reese's work,
mm-hmm.
when I read like Denez Smith, and when I read Kate Tempest and different
yeah.
poets. The things that they do with words, writing influences me a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. How did your film screening here at Nifty go? Like, how was the audience reception?
Yeah, it was really positive. And
yeah.
I had wanted to do a kind of feel-good coming-of-age movie
mm-hmm.
because, yeah, I just wanted the kind of film that I would have liked to have seen when I was, like, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So because it was pretty feel-good, I think they enjoyed it. And it was the last film to screen as well. So
that's awesome.
It got a round of applause. And
yeah.
that was really nice.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And so, what are you working on now that we can look forward to, or even what's next for Ladies Day after the festival here?
Okay, so I am working on a couple of other scripts which are not finished yet, but I'm hoping to get funding to make them.
Mm-hmm.
I've applied to a couple of different film schemes and like programs.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear back from. Ladies Day is going to be going on to Leeds International Film Festival, which is in Leeds, but that's
mm-hmm.
in the UK.
Yeah.
That's next week, actually. So I'm going
cool.
back to the UK to go do that. we've got a couple of other festivals lined up, which I'm not allowed to say yet.
Sure.
But it's got a really nice festival season going on at the moment. So I'm kind of touring with that.
Yeah.
And I'll be writing in between, hopefully getting my next thing off the ground.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. I hope that, you know, the audiences in these other festivals are able to connect with it the way the people here at Nifty did.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
it's
take
been such a
some
joy.
Of those lessons and experiences away from it and, you know, use that in a really productive way in their own lives afterwards.
I hope so. I like the idea that you can watch a film and it's fun, mm-hmm. but also it almost like prepares you when you're in a similar situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when they find themselves in a salon where they are hearing people talk about things that make them uncomfortable. But so where can people go if they want to, you know, stay up to date with your work or see more work?
Okay, so you can follow me on social media. So Twitter @Abena, @ABENAT_S, mm-hmm. and the exact same handle on Instagram.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you for taking some time out of the festival to sit and chat about your film. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. For more information on Nifty 2018 presented by Oculus, the talented youth, and more emerging filmmakers, check out nifty.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter @NFFTY or on Instagram @NiftyFilm. And for more podcasts from Party Fish Media, follow us on social media @PartyFishMedia. Party Fish Media.